Well, good morning. It's good to see those that are here this morning. Came to talk. So we will go ahead and get started with our call to worship. So if you'll please stand, we will sing number 572, I Love to Tell the Story, 572.
Single bulb up there. That represents $1,000, and our goal is $17,000. We pray for more than $17,000. Be praying about the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Every single penny that you put in the offering plate towards Lottie Moon goes towards paying our missionaries. There's no office expenses or any supply expenses that goes to support our foreign missionaries. So without our giving, they don't go. I want to read to you some scripture. Today I'm going to be talking about the love of Jesus. So I thought I'd share with you 1 Corinthians 13. And the Bible tells us in verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Not seek its own, is not provoked, and thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, whether there are prophecies, they're going to fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. But love never fails. We're going to talk about the love of Christ as we think about our foreign mission today. So please pray in. We're going to welcome everybody. So the way we do that is let's stand and look around and wave and make everybody feel welcome as you can. You can be seated. I have an announcement or two. First of all, I have a thank you. I want to thank the ACT teens and the leaders of the ACT teens for the women's brunch yesterday. If anybody went, how did you like it? Yeah. Even if you didn't go and your spouse went, yeah. Because she sure did come home happy, and I'm very grateful for that. So thank you, ladies, for that. And then Lisa wanted to know about the Valentine thing. So I'm going to tell her, yes, that we can do it unless something comes up. So be planning on Valentine's banquet. You know, that's a biggie. We love that Valentine banquet. So we're going to get back to normal as soon as we can. But let's go ahead and plan on the Valentine banquet and just see where it goes. Well, you look at your bulletin. You can read it as good as I can. We're going to pray, so let's go to the Lord and pray. Father Almighty, how we love you and praise you. And God, what a wonderful, loving God you are. And Father, even the times that you have to chastise us, you do because you love us and care for us. So, Father, we pray for your presence to be felt here at church today. Lord, as we talk about your kind of love, I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts and help us to examine ourselves. Make sure, Lord, that we're loving people the same way you loved us. Father, during this Christmas season, I pray that as we look around, there are so many needs that people have. Help us as a church and as a Christian group of people, Lord, to make sure that we take care of whoever we can this Christmas time. Father, I know that we've got some names, angel names, for nursing homes and other children. Help us, Father, to take care of all those. I pray, Lord, for those that are in need now, physical needs. We have some going in for surgeries and tests, and some have gotten out here in the last day or two from having tests. And we lift them up to you, Lord, that they would feel the very arms of Jesus wrapped around them. I pray, Father, for this time, what a glorious time it is to worship you. What a privilege it is to be able to come to the house of God and share with you, Father, from our heart, and to listen to you with our heart. Lord, at the end of this worship time, I pray that our hearts, our offerings will be a sweet-smelling aroma to you. Help us, Father, with our thoughts. May everything we do and say bring honor and glory to your name. Lord, I pray these things in the precious name of Jesus. We do have some names in the office if you'd like to bless some other families. If you would, call Ginger and she'd be able to share those with you.
And you may remain seated as we continue on with number 571, Let Others See Jesus in You, 571. Thank you. Stand as we continue on with number 573, Set My Soul Afire, 573.
Thank you. Saving me. God, we thank you, Lord, for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to come into your house to worship you today, Father. Lord, today I pray for the Lottie Moon offering, and Lord, I know there's only one ball up there now, but there's more to come, and Lord, you will provide. Father, we just love you so much, and we thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
I know God will provide more balls on the reef. He does every year. You know, one of the reasons God has blessed our church is because of our giving. You cannot outgive God. I had a t-shirt on yesterday from 2010 where we went to Montana on a mission trip. And it reminded me that that's when we started going, taking mission trips and supporting missions in a big way. That's when God really started blessing our church, because we were doing what God asked us to do. We're going after people. We're going out where they're at and doing what we're supposed to be doing. So I would encourage you to be praying not only for the Lottie Moon offering, but also come back tonight. We'll show few videos. It's a week of prayer for foreign missions. And we'll show some videos that will show you people's faces that we're supporting, missionaries and the people that they're ministering to. And these videos, sometimes they're about 2 to 3 minutes long. They're not very long. But sure do at times break your heart to make you realize what people do not have that we have. Please come back tonight and watch and prayerfully consider what you would do for missions. We're going to look at loving as God loves today. 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, three verses. And these may be three that really cause us to have to examine our hearts. John is getting his thoughts straight from God. John has walked with God. He knows what God did as he was on this earth. He saw the love that Jesus had for people. He saw the sacrificial love. He saw the touches, the mercies. So John was an expert on Jesus. And we are very fortunate to have John teaching us today about the love of Jesus. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 16, 17, and 18. By this we know love, because Jesus laid down his life for us. We also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Loving as God loves. These three verses tell us a whole lot about the love of Jesus. John teaches about love, but not just any kind of love. He pinpoints the love of Jesus, which is very different from a human standpoint. John knew what he was talking about as he teaches us the love of Jesus. John was the recipient of Jesus' love. And if we know the love of Jesus, then we ought to live the same kind of love that Jesus had. Hear what I just said. That's a huge statement. If you know Jesus, then as believers of Jesus, we ought to be living the same kind of love that Jesus lived for us or gave to us. Now I wrote this down and put parentheses by it. I need to read it word for word. So I want you to listen up. Jesus' love is our standard. We can measure our Christ-likeness by how we love others. I'm going to repeat that. Jesus' love is our standard. And by his standard, we can measure our Christ-likeness by the same way we love people. When I wrote that, I had to put my paper down and really pray through that one, because lot of us. We love like Jesus does sometimes, but do we love like Jesus constantly, always? The question today that I want us to explore is, do we love others the same way that Jesus loves them? So I want to share with you four kinds of love before we get started on this. The first is agape love, and that's defined by a pure, willful, sacrificial love that intentionally desires another's highest good or well-being. It is unconcerned about self. It is given unconditionally. And this is the exact type of love that Jesus had, unconditional love. Did not care about himself, did not expect anything in return. He gave his love so that you and I could be saved. Agape love. There's another love, and it's called Eros love. It's a romantic love, and we get the word erotic from it. So I'll leave you with that one. You can figure out what that one is and what it's all about. And then there's phileo love, which is a friendship or brotherly love. And that's the kind of love that Paul teaches that we ought to have for every single person in this world, a brotherly type of love. Philadelphia gets their brotherly love name from that. And then the fourth love is called storge, S-T-O-R-G-E, storge love, which has to do with families, the way spouses love each other, the way parents love their children. So four kinds of love, and the one that we're going to talk about today is agape love. That's the one that Jesus is our perfect example. That's the one that John is teaching us about. The same kind of unconditional love that Jesus offered to all people as he hung on the cross. Can you look at that cross for a second? Everything about Christmas ends up right there at the cross. Jesus was born so that he could die. And that wasn't by accident. That was before the creation of this world. He and the Father and the Holy Spirit figured all this out. And he was going to come in this manger scene and live like you and I. But eventually he was going to die on that cross. And how was his arms going to be nailed up there? Weren't they going to be wide open like that? That's the way he's offering his love, just like that, to all people. Whether you reject him or not, he's still offering that love to us. So that's what we're going to be hearing about today. And this, I'm just going to be up front with you. This is going to be a hard message to preach because it's, God's love is way, his standard is so high. And we all tend to fail from getting up to the level Jesus is, but we still need to hear how Jesus expects us to love. I read one of my devotionals by Johnny Hunt. It was on 1 John 3:16, and this was about a year ago, so I wrote it down knowing I would use it later on. So here's the devotional. If you are a parent, you probably remember your child's first words. Anybody remember your children? Not necessarily those that just had a baby a year or two ago. I'm talking about those of us that have trouble remembering what we had for dinner yesterday. Do you remember your children's first words? Yes? I'm hearing yes? Well, listen to this story. My wife and I had a friendly competition to see if it would be Mama or Dada. While I knew that Mom had the inside track, I thought I had a fighting chance since little girls have a special place in their hearts for Dad. Imagine our surprise when our little girl's first words or word was neither of those. She spoke her first intelligible word when another toddler came over to play. The little guest picked up a toy. My sweet daughter immediately, forcefully, and quite clearly said, "Mine." Today's passage, he goes on to write, today's passage challenges us to set aside that childish attitude of mind. And that's one of the reasons this sermon is going to be hard to preach, because we still have that attitude, this is mine. I remembered what my daughter's first three words were, and she's still like that today. It was, "I'll do it." Oh, man. Parents, you know what I'm thinking right now. Yeah, she did it too. I want you to remember that Jesus' love is our standard, which we compare our own love to. Jesus' love is our standard, which we not only compare ourselves to, but guess who else sees the way we love? Jesus sees everything we do, whether we love in His name or whether we say, mine. Jesus sees it all. John is teaching us about Jesus' love. So let's start in verse 16, and we'll just share a few thoughts about each verse. By this we know love. By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us. We also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Unconditional love lays down something, according to this verse. What does your verse say that Jesus laid down? So the unconditional love that Jesus laid His life down, and if we're trying to love like Him, in fact, what's the end part of verse 16 say? We all also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Did you hear that? Jesus laid His life down for us. That's agape love, unconditional love, expecting nothing back. He's just giving. It's up to us to accept it or not. But the second part of verse 16, written to us to learn how to love others, is that we ought to lay our life down to others. That phrase, laid down, is used as a sense of giving up something. Now, I don't think Jesus expects us to give our life up, but He may. But what He does expect us to lay down something, whether it be money, whether it be time, whether it be some kind of gift that He's given you, but Jesus, as we use Him as our standards, is expecting us to love others as He loves us. And I want you to make that personal, as He loves you. I put my name in that, as He loved Jerry. I got to think about all that happened before my life, before salvation, what happened right after I got saved. And I've told you this so many times. But right after I got saved and baptized, we quit going to church. My dad got a promotion, and I'm in fourth grade, and I should be discipled. I should have been taught the Word of God. I should have been taught how to pray and how to live the Word of God, but I wasn't. And Daddy was a deacon at the church, Baptist church. But he quit going to church because his eyes got on the job. His eyes got on money. Well, what do you think a fourth grader thinks? A fourth grader who worships the ground that Daddy walks on is going to copy his dad. Jesus saved this boy so that I could love others like He loves me. He saved you so that you could love others as He loved you. That is what agape love is, unconditional. We all give up something expecting nothing back. You give up something without expecting anything in return. And I want you to think about Jesus as He gave His love for you. Did He die on that cross? But He said, wait, I can't die on this cross because you don't know how to pray good enough. Or wait, you guys are not holy enough, so I'm not getting up on that cross yet. He didn't do that, did He? He let them nail Him on the cross knowing that we're full of sin. We're not holy enough. We don't pray good enough. But He still died for us. That's what He's expecting of us. He didn't stop hanging on that cross because people quit. They weren't giving up rebelling against Him. Remember, they just scourged Him. They hit Him with that whip. He didn't say, I'm not getting up on that cross till you quit whipping me, quit hurting me, and quit humiliating me in front of everybody. Got up on that cross with that unconditional love for us. Unconditional love lays down, whether it's time, money, gifts, or sometimes our life. Missionaries go in foreign places, and many times they give their life up for Jesus. for the people who get saved. He expects us to love like he loves for one reason, so that our love will make a difference for their eternity. Does that make sense? Did you hear what I just said? When we love people the way Jesus loves us, they may or may not accept Jesus. But if they do accept Jesus, you've just made a huge difference in their life for eternity. Remember the story of John Newton? How he lived such a horrible lifestyle, and he wrote Amazing Grace, by the way. He was a slave trader, immoral, cheat, lie, drunk, you name it, he did it. He grew up with people witnessing to him, a mama praying for him, yet he rejected the Lord. He rejected the Christian lifestyle. He wanted nothing to do with that. Did Jesus die for John Newton? Even before John Newton got saved, he was still a slave trader, still an immoral man, sinful as sinful can get, drunkard. Yet Jesus didn't hang up there and say, "Not you, John Newton. I'm not offering my grace to you." Now, I'm getting cold chills thinking about John Newton. When Jesus was hanging on that cross, knowing 2,000 years ago that he was going to die for me, he was going to die for you, he was going to die for John Newton, can you imagine the change that happened in John's heart to cause him to write Amazing Grace, how sweet the sermon, and saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, and now I'm found. I'm blind, but now I'm saved. And that is unconditional love that changes the heart. When we love like Jesus, we do the same thing. We're not the ones that save them, but we're the ones that lead them to Christ, that unconditional love. And let's keep going and look at verse 17. This is where it's kind of tough. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? If you have something, this verse ought to speak. Not speak to our hearts in a great way. There's two thoughts in the first part of verse 17. If you have this world's goods, and if you see a brother in need, that word sees is the same word that we get theater from. It's as if we're looking at all of the world, and they're on the stage, and we can see it all. And we're looking with intention of seeing something that God wants us to see. So the first part, if you have the world's goods and you see a brother in need, and it doesn't matter about I'm seeing Carl right there or I'm seeing a need in China. This is the stage, the world stage. And if we have a need and we see a brother or we have a good and we see a brother in need, then look at the rest of the verse. Sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart, how does the love of God abide in your heart? If you have something and you don't share it with somebody, the Bible says, this is the Bible speaking, that you shut your heart up towards that person. See how hard this is? What hard message this is? There is a world of hurt out yonder, a world of needs out yonder. And when they come to us, we have like this check mark, a check thing we check off. Do you go to church? No. You get an X there. Do you know the Lord? No. Well, there's an X too. Do you smoke? Yes. Well, there's an X there. Do you have a cell phone? Yes. Well, there's an X. By the time we get with this check off list of seeing people in need, we've done judged the fool out of them. Sorry, I didn't mean to say it like that. You see where I'm going with this? This verse has nothing to do with judging anybody. It's having to do with giving something with nothing, expecting nothing in return. It's an unconditional love that we're supposed to, as Christians, as children of God, this is the way we're supposed to respond to people. I'm telling you, we do not respond like that. We more or less keep a checkoff list for people. And the love of God is not in our heart towards those people. And then John asked us the question, this coming from the mouth of Jesus, how does the love of God abide in us if we don't love like Jesus does? So if you have something and you don't share it, what do you think God sees? Question becomes, how does the love of God abide in your heart? I tell you, God's got a real big sense of humor. I went to a meeting and I had, I had some cash at home. I put a $100 bill in my pocket and I put a $5 bill in my pocket. And they took up a love offering. And they talked about pretty well what I'm talking about. So now I've got that $5 bill in my pocket, and I've got a $100 bill in my pocket, and I've already given my tithe and my offering at church and all this stuff. And now don't you know God saw what was in my pocket? Can you imagine what's going on in my heart as I'm debating myself? What do I do? Do I get this measly $5 or give this $100 bill? Well, I had to give the $100 bill. And I could hear God going, ha. I showed him. And he did show me. The neat thing about that was I never missed that $100 bill. God took care of it. So I quit putting a $100 bill in my pocket. No, I didn't do that. I always have a $100 bill in my pocket just in case. It's always God's $100. Remember Mr. Coleman? I didn't remember telling him. I was messing around with him one morning. He was sitting out there in the chairs out there. And, you know, Mr. Coleman was a little bit tight. So I was kind of egging him on. And, you could kid with him if he kidded back with you, but if he didn't kid back, don't kid with him. So I'm kidding with him, and he gets this grin, and it starts like this right here, and it goes real slow, and it goes all the way from ear to ear almost. He pulls out his wallet, and I'm waiting, and he starts digging. He's going down, and he gets down to the very bottom, and pulls out this little bitty old square about that big, and starts unfolding it. It's a $100 bill. He said something. I'm not going to tell you what he said to me, but I got the biggest kick out of that because none of us thought he had $100. Did you know he had that $100 bill? Yeah, sure he did. Always carry a $100 bill or something. You never know when you see a brother in need. You sure don't want to shut your heart to that brother. By the way, Mr. Coleman, even though he was tight, he's one of the most generous people in the world. He'd get his shirt off his back to me. Remember that little girl, mine? That attitude is not agape. That is a selfish attitude. Nothing that we have is out of it. It's all God's. We're all born with that mine attitude. It's a selfish love. But when we become followers of Jesus, imitators of Jesus, then the acts of love coming from us should be and ought to be the agape love, the love of Christ. Now look at verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and truth. The lesson is get past the talking stage and actually do the love of God. Quit talking about it and do it. Remember James said, faith without works is dead. This verse is really saying giving without, or faith without giving is dead too. So we learn to give through works and through giving of our possessions. It isn't enough to say, I love my brothers and sisters. We need to show them our love. And it's a doing showing. It's a giving showing. Here's the neat thing, and maybe a hard thing at the same time. You may never see the results of your giving, but if it makes a difference eternally in their life and gets them to heaven, one day you'll see your results. You'll see somebody in heaven because you gave. And here's the whole thing in a nutshell. We show God's love for the same reason God showed us His love on the cross. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And whoever believes in Him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. That's why we give. That's the whole reason we give. So I want you to examine your hearts. Are you more of a mind person, or are you a godly type of person? You love what Jesus loves. And let me tell you, before I close, God sees it all. He knows it all. And it all boiled down to my heart, you reap what you sow. If you sow generously, you're going to reap generously. If you sow selfishly, you're going to sow selfishly. Let's pray. Father, Lord, you know this message. Father, you know how hard it was and is for each one of us, Father, to examine our hearts, to make sure, Lord, that we are loving people with that sacrificial love that you have. God, you expect us to lay something down for people. Whether it be our life, our monies, our talents, our things. The scripture's so plain, if we see a brother in need, we need to take care of those people. I pray, God, for Christians. Pray for us today, Lord, that we hear from you. God, that you would speak to our hearts about whether we're loving as we're supposed to or not. Pray for our heart, whether it knows you or not. And if somebody's sitting in here right now wishing they had Jesus in their life, but they've never invited you into their life. God, I pray that you would speak to us in a great way, a mighty way. Thank you, Lord, for being here with us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've never invited the Lord Jesus into your life, it's so easy. You come before the Lord and admit that you're a sinner and ask for His forgiveness. Lord, forgive me for my sins and come into my heart. And Lord, He'll do that as fast as you can blink your eyes. But after we get saved, Jesus expects us to live like He does. So the invitation is, if you don't know Jesus, please come forward and let me pray with you. If you do know Jesus, examine your life. Make sure that you're loving the same way Jesus loves. Let's stand and we'll sing and we'll go home.
To His goodwill, He
Trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
As you pray this week, remember Andy's going to come next Sunday and he's going to lead our singing Sunday morning and night, and I haven't worked this out how we're going to do this. Normally we have a fellowship time with them, but we're just going to stay in here right afterwards and give you time to ask questions and get to know more of it. Unless we're still going to have to stay somewhat apart. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day and your blessings and your love. I pray, Lord, your traveling mercies on the way home. I pray, Lord, that we just have a grand day in you. And we'll come back tonight and study missions. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.